Blog Talk Radio.
Come on!
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
That's right, you are listening to Scout Fantasy, which is now FF Toolbox, is now Scout Fantasy. For this Takeover, I'm the host, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, of course, each and every week. Got my main man with me, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarro. Getting ready for week six in the NFL, which is week six in fantasy football. Chris, I kind of feel like things are starting to neutralize a little bit. I know you said early going, the first 2 or 3 weeks, you could see some real odd things going on. But now I kind of feel like outside of Andrew Luck, things are starting to get back to normal.
Yeah, Corey, I agree with you, man. And everybody, welcome to the show, week six. First 5 weeks flew by, man, that they all do. Every season flies by. But, yeah, you're right, Corey. I see that. I feel like the first 2 weeks were really just all over the place, even the third week. And now things are starting to level out. Things are starting to become more consistent. You know the players you can trust and the players you can't trust. And that happens every year. That happens every year, you know, at least in the last bunch that I can remember. And hopefully, you know, that keeps happening going forward. And we can rely on our good drafts that we thought were good, and then we were scratching our heads after the first couple weeks. And finally, like you said, man, hopefully Andrew Luck is back and, you know, the Colts offense starts to take, you know, take shape going from here on out.
No doubt. Definitely still a couple of situations going on right now. Of course, in a few short minutes, we'll talk about the Jamaal Charles situation and what you do with that backfield. Got some inside news that we can talk about on that, kind of help you out when you're making your decision on the waiver wire or in Fab or whatever the case may be. You know, if you're listening right now or listening sometime tomorrow, if your FFWC, your Scout Online Championships waivers do not run tonight, there's a system error. Waivers will process Thursday at 5 p.m., so you still have time to get your lineups locked and loaded before the game kicks off for Thursday Night Football. Around the rest of the industry, those things just be status quo as usual. Now, before we get into the Charles situation, Chris, I have three teams where I'm doing something that I very rarely do. And I actually, if I knew somebody that was doing this, I would tell them they were crazy and they need to find a better way to play fantasy football. We play in leagues for the most part with 20 roster spots. For the most part, I will carry one quarterback. After that quarterback's bye week, before that quarterback's bye week, I may carry two quarterbacks. I have a league, Chris, where I'm carrying four quarterbacks, and I have three leagues where I'm carrying three quarterbacks. Now we get the news that Tyrod Taylor could be in jeopardy of missing the start, even though Rex said this morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio that he definitely does see Tyrod Taylor going. But I always like what my guy Scott Engel says, how do you know when the coach is lying, when his lips are moving? So what are you – I mean, I'm talking about – I have waiver wires, but the only quarterbacks available are Michael Vick and Nick Foles.
Oh, God, and you don't want Mike Vick, that's for sure, Corey.
I'll tell you what, man,
that was ugly on Monday night, man, and – you know, he put some points up at the end in the fourth quarter, but other than that, man, I remember looking at someone's score with Vic, and he had 2 points in the fourth quarter, and I said, oh, my God, what a nightmare this is. But, Corey, you know what? The quarterback position is the worst we've ever seen in fantasy this year that I can ever remember. And, you know, as you say that you're carrying three and maybe even four quarterbacks on your roster, I can't tell you you're crazy because, you know, I own a lot of teams, you know that, but there's about two or three of them that I'm carrying three or four as well, Corey. And I don't usually advise that either, just like you, but hey, you got to play the matchups. And just like, you know, we say in daily, you know, fantasy streaming, you know, people got to stream quarterbacks. I mean, you don't know after these top, like, eight guys, there's nobody reliable. You know, you got Bortles banged up with a shoulder, even though it looks like he's going to go. How can you trust Tyrod Taylor? He looked terrible last week. He didn't look that good last week, and now he's got this injury. You really want to wait till game time to, you know, see if you're going to play Tyrod Taylor. And on top of that, he's dealing with a leg issue, so that takes away his running ability. So really, how valuable is this guy going to be, especially if a Sammy Watkins isn't back around? You know, I have no problem with what you're doing, Corey. You just got to hope that each week you pick the right quarterback, and he doesn't give you a 3 or 4, and he gives you enough to, you know, give you a win and keep you moving on to the next week.
No doubt, and that's a couple of situations I have, and basically, like you said, just trying to get a win, survive in advance. We're only in week 6, and we're talking survive in advance, and of course, week 6 does kind of signify the middle of the regular season of fantasy football, so right now is a good time to get teams on a winning streak. You want to get on that 3-4, maybe even 5-game run, to solidify yourself for a shot at the playoffs. And then once you get into the playoffs, you already know anything goes, and then you go down the stretch competing for the overall crown. But still got some time before we get to that. I was in the studio last week, Chris, and I looked over at Ronis. This was a week ago today. And I said, hey, Ronis, that's my partner on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. I said, Ronis, what's that running back in Kansas City's name that they say might be number 2? I got a team with Jamal Charles. I think I'm going to put a dollar on that guy. I made the mistake of leaving the draft without Niall Davis. I'm going to put a dollar on that running back. I can't think of what his name. And he said, Chuck Andrew Quest. I went right to my waivers, found the guy, put a dollar on him. Got him
and
for a dollar. He's going to go for a lot more than a dollar tonight, Jack.
Oh, man. What a score, Corey. And you know what? It's funny, too, because you got that story, and that's a good one. And luckily for you, because people are going to be opening up the wallet tonight and tomorrow in Fab for this guy. He's going to be the most expensive player that people pick up.
Probably all season, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people, and it's a combination. Listen, this guy isn't the next Matt Forte or Adrian Peterson. Let's not kid ourselves. He's an undrafted, you know, undrafted player with very little experience. But you know what? We talk about how bad the quarterback position is. Well, you know what's even worse? The running back position. Everyone's dying for a running back that's going to get 15, 20 carries a game. And this guy, you know, Andy Reid, it's Andy Reid's guy. Andy Reid, you know, is pretty much giving him the job over Niall Davis. But, Corey, how crazy is it that, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, how screwed are Jamal Charles owners? Not only did they lose Jamal Charles, but, you know, what do you hear before the big draft this year? Oh, you get Jamal Charles. You make sure you move up and get Niall Davis. At least you got yourself covered in case anything happens to Jamal Charles. And I'm sitting there today going, man, could anything be worse than being a Jamal Charles owner, making sure in the 8th and 9th round you move up and jump the gun and get Niall Davis? And then when Charles goes down on Sunday, you look over and Niall Davis isn't the main guy where you could just replace Charles. Because in the last couple of years, when you've seen Niall Davis play, I mean, the guy, he's not Jamal Charles, let's not kid ourselves, but, you know, he's a step or two only beneath him, and he was producing, you know, like an RB1. We said it before the season, if Charles ever went down, Niall Davis is an RB1. Well, now you got screwed twice, and now this guy West is going to be the man, according to Andy Reid. He's going to get the first crack, but man, what a terrible situation for Jamal Charles owners. And another RB1 stud gets taken out of the player pool. And, you know, the running back position as a whole gets even weaker.
No doubt. And if you are a Niall Davis owner and you did make that jump, be patient with Niall Davis. Starting to see a little bit of tea leaves and a little bit of underlining, a little bit of fine print that Kendrick West move could really be something to motivate Niall Davis. Niall Davis terrible in camp this year. Andy Reid not really a big fan of his attitude, but
yeah.
Davis gets this.
Corey, let me
West gets this first crack, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, bud. I just wanted to, as I was talking just now, I forgot to tell you my little story because I own Niall Davis on 2 teams just because, you know, in that particular draft, I said, let me just take Niall Davis. I didn't have Jamal Charles. I said, it's a good solid RB4 or 5 to put on my bench, right? Well, I'm carrying him for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And last week in Fab, I needed a couple players to pick up. And on both teams that I had Nile Davis, I said, you know what? This guy isn't even getting on the field. He's useless. Jamal Charles is a man and, you know, whatever. And I dropped Nile Davis in both of my leagues that I had him last week. Sunday, I see him, Charles go down. I go, oh, my God, I can't believe I can't even catch a break. I just dropped Nile Davis. So bad timing on my part. I wish I would have held on one more week, and who knows. But I would be picking up Nile Davis as well tonight. Not obviously as much as West, but, you know, a couple bucks there as well.
No doubt. Got to definitely get involved in the situation on that. Before we get into some of the game action, we have to once again, it seems like we've been doing these shows since the beginning of August, and it seems like every single time we do one of these programs, we have to discuss the running back situation in Dallas. And here we go again, more with the running back situation in Dallas. Seeing reports that after the Cowboys bye right here in this week, week six, Christine Michael is going to get a shot to be the starting running back, Chris.
Yeah, Corey, I don't know how much we could read into that. I mean, right now it's just a rumor. The guy has done absolutely nothing to prove, you know, that he should be handed the starting running back job. So I'll take that with a grain of salt. You know, if they come out of the bye and the game starts and Christine Michael is the first back in the backfield and gets the first carry and he starts and gets 15, 20 carries or whatever Randall was getting, well, then I'll be wrong. But right now it's hearsay. Unlike the Castle and Whedon situation where the Cowboys came out and named Castle the quarterback, I don't believe it until I see it. I'll put it that much. I'll put it that way.
And here's the thing with Christine Michael. We've always heard this supreme talent, one of the best guys without a starting job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean much when we have to see this guy on the field in between the tackles in live game situation in the regular season. And I just don't know if it's a good idea to go throw $300, $400 behind a guy that, for the most part, is going to be a part of a committee.
Yeah, but people are going to do it, Corey. If he's available in people's leagues, believe me, they'll be throwing big money at him tonight, I'm sure, just based on the rumor. And that could go one of two ways, obviously. It could either blow up in your face and ruin half your fab money or whatever you're going to bid, or it could turn out to be an absolute steal in 4 or 5 weeks from now. We could talk about Christine Michael being you know, a top 10 running back in fantasy. So, you know, it's a gamble. It's an honestly, that's all it is. It's a gamble because all this guy has done in the last, 3 years he's been in the league has been a preseason hero. He's done nothing else. So I won't be throwing big money at him in any league that he's available. I don't know about you, Corey, but I'll stay away.
Not even making some of my list in fast. Look like players like got a lot of Charkandrick West. Well, no, I own him on the league where I have Charles. I'm not really bidding him up too high anywhere else. I'll be out of that. A lot of on my fab this week is a lot of Josh Huff. I think he's going to get a shot in Philadelphia. Listen, a lot of mouths to feed in that passing game. You never know what Sam Bradford and the crew would do, but a modest bid on Huff because you could be paying double for him in the next couple of weeks is the way that I'm looking at this week of trying to be able to find some extra wide receiver help. The tight end situation is interesting also this week. Go ahead.
Yeah, Corey, the free agent, I mean, I don't know if you agree with this, but, and we say this kind of every year, I feel, but not as much so as this year. The waiver wire in, you know, our high-stakes leagues and for all the people that are listening, not only in for our high-stakes listeners, the FFWC and other big leagues, you know, even your home leagues that are, you know, very well, you know, very competitive. The waiver wire is barren this year. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it's rough. I go through all my leagues, and it's like, oh, my God, like, you know, this is it. Like, there's really nothing, you know, the talent pool, it feels, is really dried up. I don't know if you feel that way when you're going through your big league waiver wires, but, you know, each week, maybe one or two guys that could crack a lineup. Other than that, they're just bench depth. You know, there's really nothing special coming off waivers this year so far.
No, you're absolutely right about that because a lot of these guys that we are picking up, they're just like a wing and a prayer. I think I feel pretty good about the situation. You know, 2 weeks ago I did a lot of Josh Crowder ads.
Crowder was a great pickup.
I mean, not Josh, but Jameson Crowder ads. And it looks like Crowder is going to be a player. I think Derek Carrier in Washington could also be a player. Kirk Cousins seems to like to target his tight end. So those are a couple names right there, both in D.C. But Crowder, for the most part, shouldn't be on too many waiver wires at this point in the season, Chris.
No, I agree with you, though, Corey. And we talked about Jameson Crowder last week on our show, and we said to go after him. And through 1 week, I'm really loving the fact that I did go after him and got him on a real good handful of my teams, because I think this guy is a real, you know, for the rest of the year, could definitely be a starter in your starting lineup as a good flex player or even a wide receiver three. As long as Jordan Reed sits out, and Jordan Reed, they came out the other day and said don't expect him anytime within the next 2 weeks. So if they're already ruling him out 2 weeks now, who knows? Maybe two becomes three or four. And as long as he's out of the lineup, Jameson Crowder, I think, is going to have a nice role. Now, I know DeSean Jackson is probably going to come back, and, you know, that's more, you know, more balls to go around, less balls to go around. But Crowder playing out of the slot, seems like Kirk Cousins enjoys, you know, throwing to him a lot. 8 catches for 83 yards, I think, was his stat line last week. I like him. I think that could be a nice waiver wire find for the rest of the year.
Thank Keenan Allen from his rookie season. Jameson Crowder now in his rookie season. Keenan Allen was a big part of championship teams. Of course, this kid is not going to do what Odell Beckham Jr. did last year, but you kind of get the message of where I'm coming from. Sometimes these PPR monsters that come off the waiver wire can really help fantasy owners down the stretch, not to mention DeSean Jackson, who will get back in action soon. But Jackson is a player that, you know, I really don't see making much of an impact anyway. Kind of look at him as a one-trick pony. And trust me, if this team is not playing well, DeSean Jackson will quit.
Yeah, I mean, he's been known to before. But, yeah, I mean, I like Crowder, especially this week again. I'd go right back to him playing the Jets with Revis and Cromartie on the outside, locking up those wide receivers like Garcon. And if Jackson plays, even Jackson – someone's got to catch the ball, and the weak link would be, you know, in the slot and in the seams. And Jameson Crowder, that's where he eats. So
that's
putting him out there.
That's where he does most of his work. I want to start and get in some of the game action. Start with a Thursday night contest with Atlanta on the road in New Orleans. Big-time rivalry, especially down there in the NFC South. 51.5, nice high point total. I don't know if you fade Thursday night in your DFS contest, but a game with a 51.5 is tough to do. 24 predicted points on the New Orleans side, 27 on the Atlanta side. Atlanta undefeated comes in as a road, a 3.5 point favorite on the road, Chris. If you are 12-team season long league and you're Julio Jones owner, are you selling?
Am I selling? No.
Yeah.
I would. I
don't blame you.
Couldn't
I'm not either.
Get me to sell Julio Jones for anybody. I would love to see this hamstring issue go away, though, Corey. You saw what Julio Jones was. He was my top overall player on my draft board this year, and he's proven that he deserved to be through the first month of the season. He's a stud number one fantasy player. And unless you're talking to me about Le'Veon Bell or Rob Gronkowski, you would never even get me to entertain trading Julio Jones.
I agree with you 100% because whenever you're trading Julio Jones, you are trading the best player in the deal. A lot of times I do not like to trade the best player in the deal, so I just stay away from that. Devonta Freeman is the real deal, Chris?
He certainly looks that way, Corey. I think the offense fits him perfectly. The offensive line is playing well above their heads so far. They're opening the lane for him. Defenses have to, you know, they can't crowd the box. They have to worry about Julio and even Leonard Hankerson in the pass game, and Freeman's catching the ball out of the backfield to boot. And this guy has been the, I want to say that the top, the number one reason that, you know, teams that own him are in first place. I mean, he's the find of the season, let's put it that way. There's no better pick in fantasy this year than Devonta Freeman so far. I mean, if you look at the top of the leaderboards on every high-stakes team, Devontae Freeman is on that team right now, you know? Followed up by Larry Fitzgerald at the wide receiver position. These two guys at their respectable positions are carrying everybody right now. Devontae Freeman, Corey, has 8 touchdowns. If you take away the 8 touchdowns that Devontae Freeman has scored, he'd still be the number 3 running back in fantasy right now. That's an incredible stat.
No doubt. Touchdowns, we know, are not predictable. Touchdowns are a very weird thing. And the fact that he can still maintain that kind of value, even without those touchdowns, is very impressive. The season off to a nice start, and he's a player that I don't have anywhere. I do have some Tevin Coleman shares, but this could very well have been Tevin Coleman. He doesn't injure that rib cage. And now Devonta Freeman steps up, takes advantage of the situation. He's good to go for the rest of the season. Roddy White, Chris, should probably be on the waiver wire.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of those guys, Corey, that likes to hold on, I guess, a little longer than most do. And you know what? While we're on the topic of Roddy White, let's talk about his equivalent through the first month of Andre Johnson. And everybody was, you know, getting up until last week. What was everybody saying? Dump Andre Johnson and Roddy White. They're both finished. They're both done. Well, this is why you hold on to these guys and players like that that are struggling. Because at any moment, you can have that game. You know, Andre Johnson got dumped in 3 or 4 of my leagues last week, before last week. Now, how much money are people going to be throwing at him today and tomorrow, you know, based on last week's game? Now, I'm not saying that Andre Johnson's back and he's going to be a stud the rest of the way, but I'm just saying, hey, you know, 6 catches, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns. Anybody would take that as a wide receiver, too, any week. But, Roddy White, on the other hand, Corey, we still haven't seen it. I don't know if he's going to have the game that Andre Johnson had last week anytime soon. But what really worries me is his snap count keeps going lower and lower. And even when he complained last week about not being involved and wanting the ball, and these other wide receivers, Julio and Hankerson, banged up, he still didn't get involved. So that's a real bad sign, Corey. And
seems like him and Kyle Shanahan have something going on, Chris, where they're just not seeing eye to eye. And Roddy White's been a fantasy owner for many, many years. I used to say that Roddy White had 16 games, 100 catches. That's not going to happen this year, bro.
Not even close, Corey. But you know what? He's got a good radio career ahead of him, so.
Of course, you could catch that. What's it going deep with Roddy White? And he's very good on the radio.
Yeah,
Roddy White is the way he breaks down teams and looks at analyzing situations. Roddy White definitely does have a career in the media ahead of him.
You know what? I've heard the show a couple times, Corey, and the only thing I take out of those shows, because, you know, these guys, they're not, you know, obviously fantasy guys. They're, you know, the NFL players. But you get some good insight info, like locker room stuff, like, you know, this week we're going to Julio more, and, you know, and last week's show, you know, not that it's not obvious, but he was like, you know, I've known, you know, the last 2 years, this is Julio's team, and Julio's the best wide receiver in football, and, you know, you pick up little things like that he says, and just talking about other teams and other players on other teams and, you know, their schemes and, you know, you know, stuff like that, and it's interesting, some of the information you could get out of it, that's for sure.
Looking at the New Orleans Saints side of the football, Chris, I'm going to give you a scenario. You're on a Sunday morning, you're setting your lineup, you come down to your last spot in your roster, your flex spot in the PPR league, and you are looking at Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead, who's going in the lineup.
Oh, wow. That's a good one, Corey. That's a really, really good one. Are we talking about for this Thursday night's game?
Just in general.
Oh, in general? Oh, man, that's rough. Corey, that's a really tough question. Right now, I believe
like
it
Breeze
or not.
It looks like Breeze is trying to BFF and Willie Snead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's crazy that I'm going to say it, but I'd have to lean towards Willie Snead right now. He's out-targeted Cooks. You know, he's outproduced Cooks these last couple weeks, and it looks like he might be Breeze's new number one. Now, it's tough for us fantasy owners to admit defeat, but sometimes we got to say, hey, I'm going to play my free agent pickup, which Willie Snead is, obviously. Nobody drafted Willie Snead, and bench my second-round pick in Brandon Cooks. But, hey, you know, you got to live in the moment, man. And Willie Snead is producing. Now, Brandon Cooks did produce last week and had his first really, you know, nice stat line. I think it was 5 for 105 and the touchdown, I believe.
Garbage time touchdown.
Garbage time touchdown. It all counts. But throughout the course of the game, and I watched a lot of that game, Snead's the number one target. So, yeah, it'd be Snead over Cooks for me.
Yep, moving right along, and I agree with that. It's tough as it is.
While we're on the topic of this game, Corey, topic of this game, I wanna say that I was wrong last week. Last week we talked about how I thought C.J. Spiller going forward would be a legit PPR running back and a legit PPR, RB2 the rest of the way after how he ended that game in Dallas. And I don't know what happened, but they went completely backwards with the C.J. Spiller experiment last week. And to our listeners, I don't think you could play C.J. Spiller until you see two straight games where he's heavily involved in the offense. He only played 19 snaps in a game that they were trailing most of the game. It was a perfect setup for him, and he just didn't get on the field. I don't want any part of that, backfield after Ingram right now. So
I've had a long relationship. I've had a long relationship with C.J. Spiller, and I think it's time that we break up, Chris.
Yeah, you could send them the Black Roses, Corey.
Black Roses coming your way, C.J. Spiller. Hate to do that for my guy from Clemson, but it's just not happening fantasy-wise for C.J. Spiller. We did get that one big season, and I was able to get him in a couple of leagues that season, and he helped me win a few championships a few years ago, but other than that, C.J. Spiller has been a complete dog.
I'll always love C.J. Spiller no matter what, man. He was on my 150K team. He was one of the main reasons why I won it that year. So I got love for Spiller. I'll never forget him, but he's not going to play for me this year anymore.
Moving on to let's get into the Sunday schedule. Denver Broncos are in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Broncos are 4-point road favorite, 23 projected points. 20 for the Cleveland Browns. 42.5 is the game total. If I'm not mistaken, Peyton Manning might be the worst fantasy quarterback in the league right now.
I mean, I don't know about worst, Corey, but he is ranked very, very, very low. His average points in a PPR right now are around 15 a game, I think, which is brutal for a quarterback. It's tough to put him in your starting lineup, if you can believe that or not. It's just, he's probably a QB2 right about now. I mean, and that's tough because of, the rough quarterback play around the league. But, hey, he's part of it.
Tough times for Peyton Manning. I think this could be curtain call season. Right now that Denver Broncos defense carrying them. The running back situation in Denver has been a headache for about 14 months now.
Yep.
I was all in DFS contests, even some season-long leagues on Ronnie Hillman last week. Didn't work out. C.J. Anderson owners are banging their head against the wall. I know my man Jake Seeley. I don't want to say the worst prediction in the history of fantasy football.
This guy takes a beating.
But very close
boy,
to the top.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, Ronnie Hillman hasn't taken the job over. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you hit the nail on the head. Ronnie Hillman's not taking it. This is pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's suffering on the offense, and before we get into the running backs, you're right. With Peyton Manning struggling, look who's struggling with him. I mean, Sanders had a nice game finally last week. But Demaryius Thomas isn't living up to his draft position this year. And Sanders, the same thing. I mean, the whole offense is really struggling. They didn't have another offensive touchdown this past week. They're a completely defensive team. And they wanted to come into the season and be a running team and that relied on their defense. And just let Peyton Manning be somewhat of a game manager and getting the ball out and be like a 225 and a touchdown or two a game. But C.J. Anderson hasn't come through. He's fallen flat on his face. The talks are about, hey, he's out of shape. Add into the mix that the offensive line is bad. And Ronnie Hillman, even though he looks good sporadically on certain runs, he hasn't been able to take over the job and run with it. So what do you do? Who do you play in this offense right now, Corey, besides McManus, the kicker? You know, Owen Daniels is a year-four tight end. I mean, nobody.
No, Owen Daniels cannot be started. I don't care what the situation is. Owen Daniels cannot be started.
Oh, and if you're a Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders owner, there's no choice. You have to play those two. I mean, they're still giving you some production, not what you hoped, but you got to keep rolling them out there. They got a great matchup, Corey, again, this week. They got a good matchup. Cleveland's D has been anemic. C.J. Anderson has a chance to revive his career, revive his year. Everyone's running all over Cleveland. And, you know, people are throwing on Cleveland, too. So let's see what they got this week. But you got to sit there with your fingers crossed.
Definitely, no doubt. Looking at the Cleveland Browns side of the football, you really don't feel good about any of these guys this week going up against that defense. Boy, that defense is very good. That defense is why they're undefeated right now, not because of the play of that offense. So what as we sit getting ready to go into week six, Chris, how do you feel about Isaiah Crowell?
I don't feel too good about Crowell, Corey. You know, if you want to talk Cleveland running backs, he's just a bench stash for me. I'm not putting him in my lineups. But, you know, the guy, you know, that we talked about last week, that we talked about how much we loved him, and to throw him into the mix with the Gio Bernard and Danny Woodhead, the great TPR back, Deion Lewis also throw into that mix. Duke Johnson is here to stay, Corey. And this is the guy that if you're, this is the guy you want to throw out there from that Cleveland offense, again, in week out from now on. Caught another six balls, I believe, last week. And he just keeps rolling. PPR monster out of the backfield. You can use him as an RB2 going forward.
No doubt. I do like Duke Johnson. And this is a nice game trip for him, as Cleveland more likely will be playing from behind at home this week. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. on the outside, so definitely you'd be able to see some work. I tell you what, I like the way the Cincinnati Bengals are playing. That's the next team we're going to talk about. They're in Buffalo this weekend to take on the Bills team that you can get that has been getting lit up in the secondary so far this season. Cincinnati goes on the road, 3-point road favorite. 23 is the projected total for the Bengals. 20 for the Bills, 42.5, nice low point total game. Looks like a defensive game, but I tell you what, you know what, week two, joking around the scout studios, I was like, you know, this is the year of Andy Dalton. And everybody's like, oh, my goodness, you cannot say this is the year of Andy Dalton. Not the Red Rifle, not the Red Rocket. Well, the Red Rifle is getting it done right now. Top five fantasy, matter of fact, two top five fantasy quarterbacks in this game in Tyrod Taylor and Andy Dalton. You would not have believed that. I'm telling you, the quarterback situation in the NFL is upside down right now. But we look at the Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals side of the football. Why not just keep rolling Dalton and A.J. Green out there, even in your daily contest, because this is another game script that they can get it done. Tyler Eifert is looking like a stud tight end right now. They can give you the two-headed monster with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. All of these guys, Chris, are must-starts.
Yeah. Corey, before we get into this game and talk about, you know, there's a lot to talk about with this team in this game. But let me throw a question at you. You know, I know we like to throw some questions that are interesting at people. I think we talked about it last week how, obviously, I'm a huge Andrew Luck owner this year, and how I somehow backed up Andrew Luck on pretty much all my Andrew Luck teams with Andy Dalton. And I'm asking you this. I mean, this is a crazy question. I know what I'm going to do, and I know what what I would do and what I'm going to do. But maybe I'm seeing it a little differently. Andy Dalton's put up 30-plus points pretty much every week so far. And I've been lucky enough to escape without Andrew Luck for 5 weeks with Andy Dalton's points. And I probably couldn't have asked for much more from Luck than I am been getting with Andy Dalton. But crazy, with Luck coming off of an injury and back this week, and if you were told 100% Luck is starting this Sunday, what do you do in that situation now with the hottest quarterback in football? What would you do?
It's similar to the situation with Willie Snead and Brandon Cook. At some point, the draft was 2 months ago. like you said, we're living in the now, and I'll be honest with you, I want to see Andrew Luck do it. I hate to say that because I thought Andrew Luck was a 45-50 touchdown guy this year, but I want to see him do it now.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I still believe in Andrew Luck. I still think he's a monster, and I still think from as long as he's healthy starting this week, I think if you got by with him, you know, if you're 3-2 without Andrew Luck, even 4-1, maybe you're in a situation like I am where you got Andy Dalton or Tyrod Taylor and they carried you, and now you're turning the team, your teams back over to Andrew Luck. Hopefully you're on the road to a nice championship run this year, because I think Andrew Luck, as long as he's healthy, is going to be the beast in that offense that we all thought he was. And hopefully those 350 passing yards and 3-4 touchdowns every week starting now. But, yeah, I mean, I want to see it as well, Corey. It's just crazy to see, like, Andrew Luck in the second round of all my drafts. And then I was taking Dalton just to back him up in the 18th to 19th round. And now Andy Dalton's a top 3 fantasy quarterback this year. It's really unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. That's crazy. It's just been a crazy year in fantasy. But this guy's got all the weapons surrounding him. You just mentioned Tyler Eifert, top 5 tight end. The tight end position is getting better, Corey. As bad as it was and looked most of the season now with Antonio Gates and Eifert coming along and guys like that, you know, the tight end position is starting to bounce back a little bit because it looked really ugly for a while. But, hey, what can you say about this offense besides it's clicking on all cylinders? Gio Bernard, owner's got to be thrilled. Out-snapped Jeremy Hill, 66 snaps to 25. Crazy stat this past week. Obviously, because they were down most of the game, it's kind of like you got to hope that the Bengals are losing most of the time if you're a Gio Bernard owner. But Jeremy Hill, another bust of a week. And what do you do if you're Jeremy Hill owners right now, Corey? Another running back bust, along with basically almost all running backs that got picked in the top 50, not named Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, and maybe one or two others. Everyone's been a bust so far. It's unbelievable what's happened this fantasy season so far.
Yeah, I got Jeremy Hill on one of my big teams, piecing it together without him right now. The team starts to get rolling, but you know, you're really with Jeremy Hill, you're just praying that he gets a touchdown. You're praying that he gets that goal line work and he gets a touchdown. Other than that, the production has not been good, not seeing the big yards per carry we saw last year. Tough matchup this weekend against the Buffalo Bills, who are excellent in that part of the defense. But, of course, they can be taken advantage of on the back end. Chris, what's up?
Corey, if I asked you, I don't know if you know the stats or anything like that, but if I was to tell you, name me the top 2 rushing leaders through 5 weeks in the AFC, who would you tell me?
Rushing leaders in the AFC through 5 weeks. Well, that's a tough one right there.
Go ahead.
Boy, AFC, wow, who is it, Chris?
You know what? The number one guy we call a bust pretty much for the first 4 weeks of the season, Justin Forsett leads the AFC in rushing yards right now. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
And we've called him a bust. Everybody's called him a bust because he hasn't really done much. You know, he had the one good game versus Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago with 150 rushing yards, and then he followed it up this week with a real good game. So those 2 weeks have propelled him to the number one rusher in the AFC, as bad as we all thought he was. Number 2 rusher in all of the AFC, Gio Bernard.
A 7th, 8th round PPR running back that people really didn't even want to draft because of Jeremy Hill being there. And he is number 2 in the AFC through the first 5 weeks of the season. And this is why fantasy football is a game of skill.
It really is. I was looking at these stats earlier today, Corey. I know I don't want to get us off track with the games. I'm sorry. But I was just looking at the rushing leaders and in the AFC and the NFC and the names and going, wow, this guy was a 13th round draft, a 10th round, you know, on and on. The Devontae Freeman, the Deion Lewis's, these no-name running backs are all leading, and you don't see any of the big stud running backs when you look at the leaders in either conference. And then you go over to the wide receiver position leaders, and it's all the studs. It's all the first and second round studs. And that just goes to prove why I see the big receivers early and not the big running backs early. It's you know, through 5 weeks, if you went wide receiver heavy early, you're in the best shape you could possibly be. Julio Jones and Larry Fitzgerald was a stud, you know, later on, but Julio Jones leads the NFC in receiving, and DeAndre Hopkins in the AFC. So, I mean, this goes to show you.
No, you're absolutely 100% correct. Let's look at the Buffalo Bills side of the football. I want to get an update on Tyrod Taylor first.
Yeah, Corey, I mean, that, it's been really weird. You know, yesterday they said that he probably missed multiple weeks with a sprained MCL. And now as late as, you know, a couple hours ago, now they came out, Tyrod Taylor thinks he'll be able to go this week. Like I said earlier, though, Corey, do you really want a mobile quarterback that, you know, you rely on for those 50, 60 rushing yards every week with limited weapons in the offense and no run game right now? You really want to be putting this guy out there with a sprained MCL where you know he's not going to be doing a lot of running? I'd stay away from Tyrod Taylor this week against a good Bengals front.
No doubt I agree with you. I'm going to the waiver wire in leagues where I have Tyrod Taylor as my starter because I lost Tony Romo, and I'm looking to pick up some guys this week. There's some guys with some juicy matchups out there. You have to cross your fingers, though. We'll get into that stuff a little bit later on. What are you doing with the Buffalo Bills running backs? Because I'm aboard.
Oh, thank God I didn't. Corey, thank God I have nothing, no ownership. And, actually, I'm lying. That's not true. I have Carlos Williams in a couple teams. And unfortunately, I thought I was getting a stud for the next month with McCoy out. But now with both of them out, I want nothing to do with it. You know, the Anthony Dixon. Everybody went crazy with their fab money last week on Anthony Dixon. They didn't get a good return, obviously. Now you got Boom Heron coming in. Who knows, Corey? What a mess this situation is. Another running back backfield to completely avoid. You're going to get probably a little out of Heron and a little out of Dixon, and that's it. But the funny thing is, Corey, LeSean McCoy comes out, you know, late last week. He says, I'll be out 3 to 4 weeks, and everybody forgets about it. All right, we'll see you in a month. Guy hit the practice field today, Corey. Today, all of a sudden. I don't know what that does for his status for Sunday, but I'm shocked at that report that he actually got out there and practiced today a little bit.
It'll be a situation to monitor over the weekend as we get closer to kickoff because LeSean McCoy could be a guy that you can get back in the line, even though I don't know how successful he will be with a tough matchup this week coming off that tight hammy. Moving on to another inter-conference game, the Kansas City Chiefs on the road take on the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota, a 4-point home favorite, interestingly enough, in this one. Probably has something to do with Jamal Charles being out. 44 is the projected point total. Minnesota projected to score 24 points, whereas Kansas City's projected to score 20. I'm a Mike Wallace owner, and I'm sorry. For everybody else who's listening to the program that is also a Mike Wallace owner, I'm sorry. Me and Mike Wallace are breaking up this year, too. Matter of fact, we've already broken up because he spent some time on our bench recently. But you know what? You're looking at this point total in this game script, this is a Mike Wallace week.
The Chiefs secondary is a mess, Corey. And I'd love to say roll out Mike Wallace out there and it looks good and everything, but the guy still hasn't practiced.
Yep.
You know, he's missed practice. And what's terrible about that, Corey, is you know there's a problem because, you know, they've practiced 2 or 3 times this week. This is coming off of a bye week. You know, for him not to practice out of a bye week, now we're talking there's an injury there, you know.
And if I'm not mistaken, this will be if Mike Wallace misses a game this week, this is either going to be the first or second game he's missed his entire career.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's pretty durable. You're right, from what I remember as well. But you know what? On the good news with Mike Wallace, he says, no doubt I'm playing Sunday. That's the latest on Mike Wallace. He says he's just, you know, being careful with his leg injury. But he's fine, he says, and there's no doubt he'll be there Sunday. So, you know, if he sits out, a nice little waiver wire pickup tonight, Stephon Diggs, people could be throwing a couple bucks at him to maybe replace Mike Wallace in their lineup. Charles Johnson's a bum. Another bust this year in fantasy. You don't want any part of him. Nope.
Teddy Bridgewater also a bust.
But Bridgewater a bust. Get rid of him. I mean, look at all these quarterbacks, Corey, that we talk about. This is why the quarterback position is a mess, because after you get out of the, you know, your top eight, all the guys that everybody was hoping had some upside, they all flat on their face. Look at Matt Stafford, a bum. Tannehill, bum. I mean, the Texans quarterback situation, I'm just thinking off my head. You know, the Cutler's been okay, I guess. Bortles has been a nice
you know,
Bortles
Blake
been
Bortles
a nice
has been.
Blake other than that, though.
Been getting the job done.
Yep. Other than that, total crap. But, listen, the Vikings' offense is Adrian Peterson. We all know that.
Yep.
Other than him, it's tough to start anybody on this offense. I'm really disappointed with Kyle Rudolph at the tight end position. I thought he had a possibility. Maybe he turns it up a little bit because of the banged-up wide receivers. Maybe he could become, you know, number one in their pass game. He's had, you know, very little success so far this year. But maybe he could become a 5-for-50 and a touchdown type tight end going forward.
Do you think Tyrod Taylor in North Turner's fantasy-friendly system, I feel like they have not opened up the entire playbook to him?
Yeah, I agree, Corey, but you got to remember, they just, you know, he's been playing out without his biggest weapon, you know, the last couple weeks without Sammy Watkins, and this is another offense kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguar offense where I want to see the whole offense healthy, all the pieces around the quarterback healthy at once, and I think the quarterback could take it to another level.
Yeah, no doubt, I'm sorry, Chris, I threw you off with that. When I said Tyrod Taylor, I meant to say Teddy Bridgewater. I feel like Teddy Bridgewater does not have the entire playbook at his disposal.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I really thought Bridgewater would take it to another level this year. You know, I know he was a big sleeper quarterback on everybody's list, but if you waited on quarterback, a lot of teams wanted to build around Teddy Bridgewater. It just hasn't happened. Just hasn't happened. And you got to worry about teams like that that are just so run heavy with a stud in their backfield. He's not going to get that much opportunity to throw.
No, he's not. And then you look at the situation where the vertical passing game with Mike Wallace and Charles Johnson on the outside and North Turner's fantasy-friendly system and Kyle Rudolph in the scene, the tight end, and all we've seen is drop back and hand the ball to Adrian Peterson and be safe. And that's not good for fantasy football production. Makes this game very difficult. What makes that team very difficult for fantasy purposes. But the Mike Wallace situation is a dollar make you holler in the DFS tournament this week if he's good, if he's healthy and ready to go. But, of course, you're putting in your play in your lineup. But that's the risk you take when you play DFS. Moving on to the Houston Texans and Jacksonville Jaguars, 43.5 was the projected game score. Game is actually pick'em, Chris. And he's talking about a player who is not disappointed. It's DeAndre Hopkins. Man, oh, man. DeAndre Hopkins has a second round. I remember late in draft season, I was on the clock in the middle towards the late second round in a lot of drafts. And I'm, like, looking at Mike Evans and I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm like, wow, Mike Evans is a freak of a talent. But DeAndre Hopkins, it's, I like players from Clemson. And I'm just like, DeAndre Hopkins, it just seems like this guy is ready to be a breakout player. And I think we have our breakout player this season in DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's back it up a second, Corey. Please tell me you took Hopkins over Evans in that draft, did you?
I took Hopkins over Evans. I have DeAndre Hopkins on my 6 big money teams. I think I have DeAndre Hopkins on 4 of them.
Nice. And I'm with you, buddy. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is probably my most owned player across all my high-stakes teams this year, so I'm loving the breakout. I went all in on him as my late second-round pick. He's been nothing but a dream so far. The volume is there. He's been targeted. He's the most targeted wide receiver in football. You know, obviously that helps that, you know, they've been playing from behind so much. But, you know, what can you say about this guy? He's double-digit targets. You know, every game so far, he's played the most snaps in the NFL by 70 snaps. That's crazy. Yeah, by 70. So, I mean, but you know what? We talk about game script all the time, and this is what helps. I mean, pretty much every one of their games so far, they've been down pretty good and throwing from behind, and this guy doesn't leave the field for nothing. He is uncoverable. His speed and his route running is second to none almost. He's just unbelievable. He's not even, even in the red zone. He's a red zone threat to score a touchdown. Just everything is perfect about this guy. People shied away from him a little bit in draft season where, after last year ended, I always circle a couple guys that going into the following season, I know I want. The guys that I expect to take the next step. DeAndre Hopkins was first on that list for me, Corey. But when draft season came around this year, you saw him going from, like, that second-tier wide receiver, you know, like one of the first guys mentioned, to being the last guys mentioned, you know, because of why? Because of the quarterback play. Well, this guy's gone back and forth with Hoyer and Mallett as his quarterback and hasn't missed a beat with either one of them. It doesn't even matter. You know, early on, I was like, oh, God, I want Mallett to be the quarterback. That'll help Hopkins. Then once I saw Hoyer back with him, I said, oh, I want Hoyer to be the quarterback. I don't think it really matters at this point. They don't have much else in the passing game. DeAndre Hopkins is a stud wide receiver one, no doubt about it. I could talk on and on about him, but if you have him, to our listeners, good pick. What else could we say? Enjoy him. Hopefully this keeps up the rest of the way. He'll be over 100 catches and hopefully double-digit touchdowns in this offense.
Is this the week that Arian Foster gets it going?
Yeah, I wish he would have got more rushing yards, but top five running back the rest of the way for Arian Foster. He's the PPR running back dream that you draft him to be, Corey. Even if he's giving you 50 to 70 rushing yards, and he's going to get his 15 to 20 carries in the Texans offense to get you, you know, hopefully up to 100 rushing yards, but the dump off from Brian Hoyer. And this is why I'm glad that they made the change to Hoyer, Corey, because it benefits Foster more than anything. Because Mallett has no touch on his dump-off passes, and Hoyer does. And that's huge for Arian Foster coming out of the backfield. They run so many plays. If you watch last week's game on Thursday Night Football, so many plays where he just comes shooting straight through the line, turns around, boom, Hoyer drops it off to him. And, you know, he just keeps collecting these 8 to 10-yard catches. And at the end of the game, he's got 7 for 75 receiving. It's like an extra wide receiver rolled up into a running back. Love Arian Foster going forward. And the whole offense is Foster and Hopkins, and you got to love having either one of them from here on out.
On the other side of the football, the Jacksonville Jaguars, as crazy as it may sound, is one of the most fantasy-friendly offenses in the NFL.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Not Nando DeFino. That's who would have thought.
Our
good boy Nando from the Fantasy Sports Network. I tell you what, Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and now last week we saw the debut of Julius Thomas. Hopefully he starts to get it going. TJ Yeldon in the backfield. This is a fantasy-friendly offense.
Keep your eye on TJ Yeldon. A little bit of a hamstring issue. Missed practice today. I hope that doesn't turn into much. He's been relevant as an RB2. Hasn't been great, but, he's giving you 15 points usually each week. Catches out of you last week. Got a nice receiving touchdown. So that helped. But, yeah, we talked about it earlier, Corey. This offense has been great. Allen Hurns is producing big numbers each week, but the funny thing is Allen Robinson is by far the most targeted wide receiver over Hurns in his offense, and that would probably be a surprise to our listeners, but Allen Robinson, his targets have been on the rise each week, and Hurns has been on the decline. But Hurns just makes the most of his opportunities with the touchdowns. Robinson got in the end zone twice. His schedule gets a little better. He gets away from some top corners. I'd expect him to, get more space now with a Julius Thomas involved in the offense. Julius Thomas played 50% of the snaps in his first week back, a nice surprise to get him back out of nowhere. And I expect him to be on the field a lot more going forward. It's a nice little offense, I'll tell you the truth, Corey, with all these guys. And, if you have them, you got all these guys pretty late, and they're producing.
Blake Bortles getting it done. A lot of people getting it done. the quarterback situation in fantasy football is so upside down right now that Jay Cutler is a fantasy asset. Repeat, Jay Cutler is a fantasy asset. Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions this weekend, two NFC North dogs, horrific teams, getting some bad play from some studs right now. In this game, the Lions are actually a three-point favorite. Projected to score 23 points. Nope. I don't know how they're going to get there. Chicago projected to score 20. 42.5 is the game total, Chris. And it's so many problems with Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. Stafford is a dog. He goes on your bench. I have Calvin in a couple of big leagues, and I'm just like, and maybe he can just get it going down the stretch as I try to make my fight for the playoffs and my push, but this Detroit Lions offense is pitiful.
Corey, the Detroit Lions are the worst team I've watched all year by far. I think they are, I mean, obviously their record says it, but sometimes, you know, teams with bad records, they're not the worst team you see. Well, the Lions are the worst team I've seen all year. Stafford is unplayable right now, but now you got a situation where you might be hurting for quarterback play. And, you know, Stafford at home versus the Bears, a nice matchup one more time. You talked about Calvin Johnson. I'd expect Calvin Johnson to go off this week. If you're a DFS player, I'd put Calvin Johnson in my lineups this week. I expect him to start, you know, get his season really going. You know the big monster Calvin Johnson game is coming soon. Probably be this week, in my opinion. He always has a field day on the Bears. His last four games versus the Bears, he's either scored touchdowns or gone over 100 yards or both. The Bears don't have anybody that could cover him. If Stafford could get him the ball, Calvin Johnson's going to eat this week. Maybe even Golden Tate can have a wake-up call this week. But the running back position is horrible. The running back situation is bad there. But
well,
surprisingly,
not that because, yes.
Not that, but
Theo Riddick.
Theo Riddick, that's who I was going to talk about, Corey. Besides
another
the running
one
back.
Of those TPR running back, and Chris, I have
exactly.
Theo Riddick everywhere, and he is now a fixture in my starting lineups.
Yeah, 100%. That's the guy. Theo Riddick is the bright spot in that Lions backfield. 30 catches so far this year, Corey. That's 6 a game. And with the Lions always trailing and Theo Riddick being in the game and Joyce Bell being out right now, Theo Riddick's finally getting to stay on the field a little more. Abdullah's fumbling away his chances at being relevant. Theo Riddick is one of those other PPR running backs we've always been talking about. Throw him into the mix with all those guys we love from here on out. Theo Riddick could be a nice RB2 going forward, catching 5, 6, 7 balls every week.
No doubt, and of course, that was a knock against Abdullah coming into the league with his fumbling problems. I mean, look at the Chicago Bears. You already know what Matt Forte is, obviously, and they're going to lean on him. Martellus Bennett has become a target monster with Alshon Jeffrey out. Chris, I asked you the same question last week. When is Alshon Jeffrey going to play?
Well, he got back to practice in today, but if I'm going to play a little...
He played Friday last week, too.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know how I always talk about the look ahead, Corey? Well, guess what? The Bears are on a bye next week, and that's not good news if you're an Alshon Jeffrey owner, because I always talk about it, how if you got a bye the week going forward, well, hey, if he sat out this long, why rush him back and play him this Sunday only to re-aggravate him or whatever? You know, you might as well let him sit one more week, then he's got the bye, and coming out of the bye, hey, you know, maybe he's back to 100%, but... you know, the bye is in a bad situation, right? The bye is in a bad spot right now, you know, for the Bears if you're an Alshon Jeffrey owner, Corey. Eventually he's
no
going to come back, and
you
mentioned Jay Cutler being, you know, not as bad as everybody thought. Adam Gase, his offense is helping Cutler. This guy's been doing it the last couple of weeks without Jeffrey and Eddie Royal. Once he gets these two guys back and pair him with Martellus Bennett and Forte out of the backfield, this guy can maybe be on the low-end QB1 radar.
Unbelievable. This is that Jay Cutler we're talking about. Move on to some more action. Another 1 o'clock kickoff this week.
Yeah.
Washington is in New York. They're up here. So
yep.
We've got a lot of the DMV crowd to be up here this weekend. Take on the New York Jets. Jets are 6 points favorite in this one. Projected to score 23 points. Washington looking at 17. I like the Jets pieces this week. I like the pieces in the Jets passing game. I'm going to have some exposure to a very cheaply priced Eric Decker on FanDuel this week. Each price, I think, is $4,600, if I'm not mistaken. He is criminally mispriced this week, Eric Decker. I like him against that secondary out in D.C. D.C. is very good against the run. So this is not really a week where I'm rolling Chris Ivory out anywhere, but I understand the situation that you have to. Ryan Fitzmagic, listen, I'm throwing him out there because that's my guy, Fear the Bed, and Chan Gailey's offense. He has the most success with Chan Gailey in his career. He got that big contract playing with Chan Gailey. I love him.
Yep.
I have no problem throwing Ryan Fitzpatrick out there.
Any
comments you want to make on the Jets?
No, real quick. No, not really, Corey. You stop Brandon Marshall. He's a wide receiver one. Chris Ivory, you got to roll him out. The running back position looking so bad. People in the last couple weeks have been getting a little success running on the Redskins. So, Ivory, you can rely on him. You don't expect a monster game, but you got to roll him out there. And it's funny that you said that with Decker, because I was making a one or two FanDuel lineups last night myself, and Decker was in both of them. So you hit that right on the head. We were thinking we were sharing a brain on that one. So those are the three guys in this offense, Corey, and, you roll those three guys out every week.
On the D.C. side of the ball, I don't really know if you want to ride Kirk Cousins out there this week. It's always an extremely risky play to throw Kirk Cousins out there. Matter of fact, in DFS contest, I like the New York Jets because Kirk Cousins is very good at turning over the football. Dennison Crowder in the slot we like. And if you have to start Pierre Garçon and some Derek Carrier and some of these guys, cross your fingers, hold your breath. It is what it is, but Jameson Crowder is a guy that we do both like this week.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, so we won't go into it, Corey, but you're right. Crowder would be the only guy really in this offense that I would focus on. You want to take a real dart throw at a running back, Chris Thompson, this week for the Redskins. They're not going to be able to run on the Jets. They're going to have to do it through the air. Thompson's been catching a lot of balls out of the backfield for the Skins. Maybe he catches five or six out of the backfield if the Redskins are trailing most of the game versus the Jets. Other than that, I wouldn't be looking at Garcon this week. The Jets and the Broncos, Corey, are the two defenses that I don't want to see my fantasy players go up against. Their secondaries are great. Every level of their defense is unbelievable. Those are the two defenses, now that we're 6 weeks into the season, that you want to sit your players against.
No, no. And I agree with you 100% on that. Moving on on the schedule, Arizona's in Pittsburgh. It seems like I could have sworn these teams played already this year. Interesting. But Arizona's in Pittsburgh this week. Didn't know if they played already this year?
No, they couldn't have. They can. That's an AFC.
No, of course,
NFC.
They're not in the same division, but it's still, it's like I could have sworn we had this game on the schedule already this year. But anyway, Zona's in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. West Coast team coming east for a 1 p.m. start. Normally not a good thing, but I do expect Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and that, the studs, the regulars, for the Arizona Cardinals to get it going and have success this weekend in Pittsburgh. What are you doing with that running back situation, Chris?
Chris, this is Corey, this is crazy. You know how I talked about those stats earlier with the AFC and NFC, I couldn't believe certain names, everything. Chris Johnson right now, I won't even let you guess because I don't think you would guess this, Corey. Chris Johnson right now has the third most rushing yards in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
I mean, can you believe that? And it's really unbelievable when you look at the names at the top of the leaderboard in these categories. But Chris Johnson is a stud right now, I guess. But, I can't even play him. This guy he wasn't even in the league a couple weeks into the season. It's unbelievable. But, Corey, what am I doing with this running back position? I guess Chris Johnson's holding on to this job over Andre Ellington. I guess you got to keep rolling Chris Johnson out. Then I don't know what you do if you're an Andre Ellington owner. because he's not gonna get a ton of love. And then to boot, to make it all worse, it seems like David Johnson is the running back they only bring in when they get inside the 5-yard line, like the power back to slam it in. He got 2 touchdowns last week on like 6 yards. I mean, another 3-headed running back committee that's just ruins your fantasy day, you know. So I don't know what you do with those running backs, Corey, but I will tell you this. I haven't heard anybody talk about this all week long, but it was the first thing I noticed and thought of. If you thought Larry Fitzgerald was having a great year so far, and he is, and he's one of the top 3 fantasy wide receivers so far, he's going back to Pittsburgh this week.
That's
right. He played top ball at Pittsburgh. This is a homecoming for him. Palmer's going to make sure he gets in the end zone. I would be starting Larry Fitzgerald everywhere in DFS this week with family in the stands and, you know, on and on and on. But this guy is a celebrated college player. He played in that stadium, in Heinz Stadium in college. Larry Fitzgerald's going to probably keep the train rolling this week.
And that Pittsburgh secondary is really nothing to write home about. Looking at the Pittsburgh offense, Chris, 10 minutes to go in the program. Looking at the Pittsburgh offense. Listen, you have to continue to start Antonio Brown. You cannot put him on your bench. You have to continue to start him. Nobody in the NFL has been able to stop Antonio Brown in the last 3 years. Welcome to Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick has done an excellent job at stopping Antonio Brown.
God, so true, man. It really is. This is sad for Antonio Brown owners. The guy is a stud, and the only thing that could stop Antonio Brown, you're right, is Michael Vick, but you can't bench. I heard it all day long, people talking about it, and that's the chat. What do you do with Antonio Brown? You got to sit him if you have a better eye. You can't sit an Antonio Brown. You just got, you know what? This is the definition of taking your fantasy medicine right here, you know? You just got to take it, and you got to sit there and go to church and pray that Roethlisberger is back in the next week or two to save
Cross your fingers if you're in the league where you allow trading. Don't trade him. If you're in the league where you can trade and somebody's dangling him out there, go get him. Because when Big Ben gets back, they're going to turn this thing around. And even with Vic in there, I'm telling you, you could have him on your bench 1 week, and Antonio Brown is going to go 11 for 192 and 2 touchdowns. And you're going to say, thanks, Michael Vick, for doing this to me with him on my bench. Do not find yourself in that situation. The Miami Dolphins and Tennessee Titans, 43 is the projected game total, 23 on the Titans side, 20 on Miami side. Miami has a new coach now. And I hope this new coach decides that I want to get Lamar Miller and Devontae Parker involved in this offense, because I think that's the way that Miami turns their season around, because this is a team that was a contender in the AFC about a month ago. Now they are looking like the biggest joke. The coach has already been fired. The quarterback has been horrible, cursing out practice squad players. It's time to, you know what, forget all of this. Parker, you're getting involved. Lamar Miller, we're building an offense around you. That should be the model that the new head coach carries, Chris.
Yeah, I agree, Corey. And let's throw another name in there while you're talking about hopefully this head coach reviving the offense. But he's a tight ends coach. And you got to throw Jordan Cameron into the mix. Maybe his position coach taking over, you know, maybe they get Jordan Cameron more involved going forward. And he becomes a relevant top tight end, you know. But this is the last shot for Lamar Miller. If the coaching change doesn't help, you know, Lamar Miller just might be that B word we talk about all the time.
No doubt. And Lamar Miller definitely been a dog so far this season. On the Tennessee side of the ball, it's you have Kendall Wright and, you know, and some of these guys on Tennessee, you kind of have to play them. Marcus Mariota, the quarterback situation in the NFL, you kind of have to roll them out there. But, Chris, it is what it is. It's really nothing really fantasy. You can't there's nothing that you can predict fantasy-wise on this team.
Nah, Corey, this is a waste zone, Corey. It really is. Kendall Wright, I love, though. I really like Kendall Wright all season long. And other than him, there's really not much else to talk about in this offense. Delanie Walker's a low-end tight end one. Other than that, you can't rely on anybody. The running back position on this team is a disaster. The coach even said so. He doesn't care who's running the ball as long as they're running it okay. So Nothing to talk about here, Corey. If you own any other Titan other than Kendall Wright or, you know, or Mariota as a backup, or maybe you're riding him, you know, on a loaded team and you went, you know, waited on QB. Other than that, don't own any other Titan.
Nice high game total, 50 is the total for the San Diego Chargers and the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. We know who the fantasy assets are here, Chris. Quickly, as we get ready to wrap up the program, let me, and what's the injury status with some of the Green Bay Packers stars?
Everyone's fine. Davante Adams actually just got back to practicing today, and they said he's looking good for Sunday. Throw him into the mix now. I think if when he comes back, if he does this Sunday, you know, unfortunately, a few people that picked up Ty Montgomery, and he was looking good these last couple weeks, I think he gets bumped down to almost irrelevant. So you forget about him, really. But James Jones is going to still stay relevant. He was dealing with a little bit of a hammy, but he's fine. The only thing to talk about on this offense, you're starting everybody, but is Lacy going to get it going? And this is the week I think he starts to pick it up, just like last year, Corey. You know what's crazy? Through 5 weeks, last year, you remember us all talking about how terrible Lacy was the first bunch of months. Eddie Lacy had more rushing yards through 5 weeks last year when we were all flipping out about him than he does this year. So, you know, even though people have been complaining about him this year, the noise hasn't been that much. I guess we all expect him to turn it around, and I do too. And he's got the, you know, he's got the perfect opportunity to do it. San Diego can't stop anybody against the run. They're the worst defense against the run. This is Lacy's chance to turn his season around starting this week.
Nice home game with a nice temperature, I'm quite sure. Good weather out there in Green Bay for running the football this week. On the San Diego Chargers side of the football, this is your classic Danny Woodhead game.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, almost every week's been a nice Danny Woodhead game, though. You know, he's been a nice constant RB2. DPR back, Corey. Another six catches this week. You got to hope that, you know, San Diego's trailing. Danny Woodhead's in the game a lot. But you know what? A little crazy is this past week, Melvin Gordon was in, outsnapped him 46-28. And Melvin Gordon caught seven passes out of the backfield. And hopefully Melvin Gordon, you know, that timeshare becomes a little more equal if you're a Danny Woodhead owner going forward. But, you know, nice thing to see if you're a Melvin Gordon owner on the flip side of that.
The Baltimore Ravens travel to San Fran to take on the Niners. 44 is the projected game total, 23 for the Ravens, 20 for the 49ers. Revenge games are something that we like to talk about. This week we have revenge games for Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. Colin Kaepernick is the quarterback, though. And I'll be honest with you, Chris, I got a couple of leagues where I got bids on Colin Kaepernick tonight. It has gotten that bad. But if it's a week to play Colin Kaepernick, this is the week, a home game against a weak Baltimore Ravens secondary, where his two targets would like to show the Baltimore Ravens what they're made of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be wanting to get their revenge. Hopefully Kaepernick can get him the ball. Kaepernick wasn't terrible this past week versus the Giants, but, you know, you got to hold your breath and cross your fingers if you're starting Colin Kaepernick in any week.
Yep, the Baltimore Ravens offense, really not much to talk about outside of Justin Forsett.
Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, you're right. Keep your eye on that situation. Sunday Night Football, New England Patriots and Indianapolis Colts. Everybody is saying Tom Brady is going to come out here on his Screw You tour and try to blow the doors off the Indianapolis Colts in their building as a payback for Deflategate. Obviously, you're playing all of your New England Patriots studs. How much exposure in DFS contest are you going to have to the Patriots players? Of course, you know they're going to be very highly owned.
Oh, well, I think the Brady to Gronk stack will be the most owned, you know, stack, I guess, if you want to put it that way, this week. You're starting basically everybody on both sides, Corey. But what you just said in this game, which is a fantasy dream, and we hope it lives up to it. This is one of those games where you circle and you go, start all your Patriots and Colts and hope that it lives out to be the 38-35 type shootout. But you got to remember, and you just started talking about it, everybody thinks it's going to be the Brady revenge with 400 yards passing, four touchdowns, and he kills everybody. But when the Patriots play the Colts, the Patriots kill the Colts on the run game.
With the run, and that's LeGarrette Blount.
So this might be a sneaky contrarian play and throw a LeGarrette Blount in there even though he's getting terribly outsnapped and outplayed by Deion Lewis right now. But take your pick out of those two. It might be more of a do it through the ground than through the air versus the Colts. On the flip side, the Colts are going to want to try and slow the Patriots' offense down. Frank Gore could have a big game. You know, they're going to want to keep the ball out of Brady's hands and run the ball a little more. I could see Gore having a big game. He's starting to get into a nice rhythm.
And I would like to see, also want to see Andrew Luck start to get it going this week also and put up some of those numbers. Last game of the week of Monday Night Football, as we have a couple of minutes left here, Chris, the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles, another fantasy-friendly game, 50 the projected game total. The game's in Philadelphia. They're a four-point favorite. Sam Bradford's starting to get it going. Had a dollar make you holler bid a couple weeks ago on Mark Sanchez. I don't want to cut him yet because you never know. But
you know,
this
offense is
the end.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, I'm sorry, Corey. I was just going to say with the Sanchez thing, I did the same thing. All my Bradford teams, I went out a couple weeks ago and I got Sanchez to back him up. I'm actually going to be cutting Sanchez in all my leagues that I have him backing up Bradford on my team, because I've seen enough out of Bradford these last couple weeks to feel confident going forward with him. So I like him now. I'm fine with that. You mentioned the guy earlier. Nice little pickup this week with the Philadelphia wide receiver, Huff. He could be the two now with Aguilar going down with a little bit of an injury. I don't know how serious that's going to turn out to be, but Huff might be the number two in this offense. That could turn out to be a nice PPR sleeper play.
On the New York Giants side of the football, what's the latest injury situation, and is this a Shane Vereen game script?
Huge Shane Vereen game script. I can't see it any other way. If Shane Vereen could catch 10 balls this week, I wouldn't be surprised, especially if either Beckham or Randall or both sit out. If I had a guess right now, Corey, I think Beckham plays, Randall sits. And Dwayne Harris, a nice little sneaky slot receiver pickup. If one or both of those guys is out, Dwayne Harris by default will catch 6 or 7 balls along with Vereen. It's going to come down to a Monday night. It's going to be tricky if you have to rely on these guys, especially Beckham in your lineups. But other than that, the run game for the Giants is hit or miss, and Eli's been a stud, but he can't do it without Beckham and Randall in the lineup.
Not need those two guys in the lineup. A nice full edition of the Takeover for Week 6. I want to wish everybody good luck in your DFS and your season-long contest as you try to get ready to dominate your fantasy football leagues. Panic time is over. Things are starting to level out. We'll be back with you. Get you ready for Week 7. Hopefully we all get W's this week. For high-stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro, which you can follow on Twitter at ChrisVaccaroGSD. I'm the fantasy executive. Thank you for Takeover. We'll be back with you next week.